Welcome to Meet the Mentors, a podcast special supported by Vodafone as part of our Business Made Simple online series.
Sahar, this is Joe.
Hello, Sahar.
Hello, Joe. Lovely to meet you.
That suitcase must contain hats.
It does. Hats and beautiful things, yeah.
Joe and Sahar hit it off right from the start. From the moment they met, you could tell there was a kinship there. Joe immediately put one of Sahar's hats on and she did not take it off throughout the whole of the conversation.
Do you know what? I forgot chocolate. How terrible is that? We might have to send out for some.
When you're looking for a mentor, it doesn't have to be someone that's going to kick you about. It can be someone that actually becomes a friend. You've got to check out Joe Fairley's Instagram account for pictures of those two together. My name's Kobe Omanaka. I'm a startup mentor and podcaster. In this podcast, I'm bringing together some of the UK's top business leaders and budding entrepreneurs for a one-on-one mentoring session. But this isn't just for them, this is for you too. We are sharing tips to help all of us do better in business.
I happen to have a little nest egg and I had £20,000 and 34 quid and 2 tons of chocolate were going to cost me £20,000. So I literally put every penny that I had, except for 34 quid, into buying a consignment of chocolate and launched Green and Blacks with that chocolate.
This episode, we're making it big with Joe Fairley, the founder of Green and Blacks. Green and Blacks launched in 1991 and was the UK's first organic chocolate label. Joe's chocolate rapidly filled supermarket shelves across the country. She sold the company in 2005 for an estimated £20 million. Joe is a firm believer in taking a chance and being bold, and in the power of the press to get your business started.
I've sat in front of very tricky buyers in my days at Green and Blacks, telling me that the British would never eat dark chocolate and having to pull a cutting from Good Housekeeping out of my bag where it said we came top in a taste test. And that swung it.
Before she founded Green and Blacks, Jo was a fashion magazine editor. So she was keen to meet couture milliner Sahar Freemantle. I visited Sahar in her London studio where she runs not one, but two labels. Ugly Lovely, which is where she lets her creativity run wild, and the slightly more conventional Sahar Millinery.
So this is my space. Yeah. As you can see, I've got various hat displays. So over here, I've got most of my wedding hats and a couple of surprising bits as well.
We should point out here, these aren't just hats. These aren't just bowler hats or even fezzes. These are
no.
These are something a lot more special.
People now have come to know me as the milliner that uses weird stuff, like roadkill and butterflies and things like that.
There's one here. Can you describe this one?
This one is actually using roadkill magpie, which I taxidermied and salvaged some parts, so the wings and the skull,
yeah,
on a fur felt base. This obviously wouldn't be your average wedding hat. So this is my label called Ugly Lovely, and Ugly Lovely is taking a playful, fun look at what beauty is. My other label is called Sahar Millinery, which is a little bit safer, but still
safer.
a bit safer, but still very beautiful, and they're all designed to flatter the wearer.
I've got an example of a Sahar Millinery.
Yeah, so these, you can see butterflies in here. These are not real butterflies,
sure,
but this is just designed to be a beautiful, delicate piece, can be worn to Ascot, for example. And you know, you've got the bright fuchsias with the bright oranges over there. So I think they're still creative,
they're just in a different way. They're striking.
Oh, thank you.
No matter which. Sahar's work is gaining traction. She has a steady business selling her hats through her websites and pop-up shops. The question is, how to turn a one-woman designer and maker into a scalable business?
I recently made a bunch of hats for Paloma Faith music video. I've done hats for film and TV in the past. Downton Abbey, for example, Katy Perry, Ellie Goulding. Oh, I did a really fun project with the Elephant Family, so making loads of masks and hats for their massive charity fundraiser. Then one of those ended up in the V&A, which was
oh,
nice.
Wow.
Yeah, there's been kind of a few lovely little highlights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're definitely going in the right direction then. So we want to obviously have this chat before you meet Jo Fairley. What kind of things do you want to ask her and get advice about?
How I can take my business to the next stages. So I'm very pleased with where I am right now, but at the same time, I'm also aware that it could be a lot bigger.
Sure.
I kind of am looking forward to just hearing a bit from her as to how to then make it big to the next level and what that could look like, what that could even look like. I do think I'm holding myself back and I just can't wait to just meet her and just to be inspired by her and what she's achieved.
Absolutely. You make these fantastic bespoke items. So I'd be interested to find out how you think about scaling in a way that makes sense and still maintains the integrity of both companies.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because obviously what I'm doing right now is I'm hand-making every piece myself and I'm having really personal conversations with my clients. Yeah. I would really like to have a team of people and to be doing, you know, big wholesale orders for all the best shops around the world. I feel like I am ready and I maybe just need a little kick.
And that's what we hope to get when we meet Jo Fairley.
It's funny because you didn't know, but I love a hat.
Really?
It's so fabulous, though. I honestly, you are really clever.
Oh, thank
what
you.
Is this?
So they are just flowers which I've bought and I've sprayed gold and then
gold
I've
paint,
gold
yeah.
leafed them.
Yeah.
And then on some of them, a few of them, I've brought some of the teal feathers and tipped them.
I've never recorded a podcast wearing a fancy hat before, but there's always a first time. And there was no stopping Sahar and Joe from dressing up for the occasion. Jo loves her gold leaf and feathers, but she has a serious business point to make with them too. You've got to get your products in front of the right people. It's the approach that she says made Green & Blacks a household name.
I had an amazing opportunity in 1991 when I discovered two squares of dark chocolate on my husband's desk and nagged him and nagged him and nagged him. He was in the natural food business and it was a sample of the world's first organic chocolate. And Craig turned around to me and said, well, look, if you're so interested in doing this, why don't you do it? And so I happened to have a little nest egg and I had £20,000 and 34 quid sitting in the bank and 2 tons of chocolate were going to cost me £20,000. So I literally put every penny that I had, except for 34 quid, into buying a consignment of chocolate and launched Green & Blacks with that chocolate. That, I thought, was the start of a business that would supply the natural food trade in the UK, where Craig, my husband and business partner, had a reputation for innovation. And I thought, we had a brand that would do well in the natural food trade. And then about 6 weeks in, I got a call from Sainsbury's. And they said, one of our directors has had your chocolate at a dinner party. And we'd like to invite you to submit it for the next range review. Of course, I'd never been in the food business. I didn't know that this wasn't how things happened. And I went home that night and I told Craig. And he said, no, it doesn't happen like that. You've got to knock on their door and eventually a crack opens and you stick your foot in and it takes a couple of years. But actually, do you know that was because I had networked that chocolate to everyone I could think of. I'm sure it wasn't just a coincidence because it turned out it was Lady Sainsbury who'd had it at a dinner party.
Oh, my gosh.
And gone went home and said that, it should be in the shop. And that was our lucky break. But it was to do with making sure that product was seen by the right people in the right place. And that's exactly what we come back to with you.
Absolutely.
Jo's concerned that Sahar's given herself too much to do by running two labels at the same time.
What you're doing at the moment is you're trying to build two different brands. But if I were you, I would be looking to bring Lovely Ugly under the umbrella.
Ugly Lovely.
Ugly Lovely. Under the umbrella of Sahar Millinery.
Okay.
Because at the moment, you're basically running two different businesses.
I am, yeah. And I've been wondering, am I doing this the right way? Should I be treating them as two separate ones or should they
I
all be the same one?
I think it's almost an extension. And so you could have the Ugly Lovely collection at Sahar Millinery.
I've always wondered which way round I should do it.
I love Ugly Lovely.
Uh-huh.
But I think that your Ascot-going lady, who is going to be very happy to spend lots of money on your hats and keep your business going, might just... You've got the word ugly in there.
Yeah.
And it just might not be right for her.
Sahar's labels play different roles in her business. Ugly Lovely should get her noticed by the fashion world, while Sahar Millinery drives sales. But Jo says that when you're collaborating, you have to make sure you get the credit you're due and use every opportunity to publicise your own brand.
You're creating beautiful couture hats, but you have an opportunity to do a slightly watered-down version that could be much, much more commercial, whether it was with a Debenhams or with a department store. So it's almost like a diffusion line, rather like Jasper Conran, for example, who has a catwalk show. But actually, most of his sales are in Debenhams, and that's what's made him a fortune. When you're doing a catwalk show with a designer, you've really got to try to nail them down to make sure that they credit you for what you're doing for them.
Yes.
Because given half a chance, they'll drop your name off the list of credits, and what you're doing is working to create their brand. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we never ever did at Green and Blacks was make chocolate for anybody else. Everybody came to us and said, would we own label for supermarkets and so on? And we just said, no. If I were you, be trying to identify a designer that you really admire, that you can almost have a creative partnership with, where they really buy into what you're trying to do and they will do what they can to give you oxygen of publicity on their back.
I remember kind of 1 year sitting down and firing off a bunch of emails to different people that I thought, oh, maybe they want to collaborate with me, and never hearing anything back, and then just did the classic, oh, well, that didn't work, so let's just give up with that. Right. Instead of keep on trying. I just recently made loads of hats for a Paloma Faith music video.
Yes.
And I did a few for, like, Downton Abbey and The Current War and
as, and I think that's great.
Yeah.
But that's not going to give you publicity unless you use it yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
You've really got to grasp them.
Yeah.
And make sure that everyone knows that was you. It's a fantastic PR opportunity.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
With the opportunity with Downton, with the opportunity with Paloma Faith, what did Sahar do to tell the world about it?
I put a couple of posts on my Instagram.
Sahar, that's not enough. Send a release to Vogue. We built Green and Blacks on the back of PR. Mm. We had no advertising budget.
Right.
And actually, in the early days of a brand, your brand isn't even going to register on people's radar until they've seen that name several times.
Yeah.
Mm. And that was incredibly helpful to us. We ended up with a telephone directory's worth of cuttings. And that was what got us onto people's radar. The one thing that you've got to think about is how you get yourself noticed. It was jolly easy for me because I sent a couple of bars of chocolate with every single press release. And that gets people in the office talking about it. And you can't really send a couple of hats, but can you send, I don't know, a sketch for a hat?
Maybe like a beautiful feather or a gold leaf flower or something.
Something kind of, physical that's going to catch their eye.
Yeah.
Something that gives them a flavour of what you do in the same way a square of Green and Blacks gave them a flavour of my chocolate.
Yeah.
I would do sort of the Sunday Times Style and U Magazine and Tatler and Bazaar and Vogue. You know, you don't have to do it for everybody.
Mm. Who would I send them to? Like the editor?
Yes.
The fashion editor.
I can also give you a few people afterwards.
Yes, please. High five. I actually was thinking to do the same thing with sending something to the royal family, sending something to
Why not?
Kate Middleton. Yeah,
Why
absolutely.
Not? And hello, Meghan.
She's
bound to get into hats, and I'm sure she'll be very keen to support British brands.
So you've got your press cuttings, you've even got a royal on board. What's next? This is what opens doors to the big buyer, says Jo.
I've sat in front of very tricky buyers in my days at Green and Blacks, telling me that the British would never eat dark chocolate, and having to pull a cutting from Good Housekeeping out of my bag where it said we came top in a taste test that they'd run. And that swung it. Press is really important because that is your foot in the door, if you like, with the other people.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you are Sahar who?
Sahar's also been worrying about success. If she does land that big client, how will she scale up production to fulfil the order? Jo doesn't think it's a problem, but says that Sahar should already be building up a team.
One thing I've learned as an entrepreneur is that entrepreneurs tend to be slightly control freaks, which is no bad thing, because that's how you get the business to be the way you want it to be.
Right now, I do sort of hold on to doing everything, you know, from the making side and the designing side, but even, you know, the marketing side. I have it in my head that no one can sell my hats as well as me.
I think that's one of the first things that you need to let go of, because, gosh, there are fashion salespeople out there who would just give their eye teeth to get their hands on your hats and to match them to the right person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever sat down and figured out how many hours you spend on each of your different activities, but it'd be quite interesting to map that, I think, and see how many hours you could give yourself back. There must be other people who could do the physical making of them that you could train.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that would free you up to do the stuff that only Sahar can do. I was in business with my husband, and that was fantastic because he is strategic and he is Mr. Spreadsheet and he is Mr. Cashflow. And I was the creative, outward facing, customer service, product development, PR, marketing side of it. And I absolutely trusted him and he absolutely trusted me, and we knew how the other one, what they'd do in any given situation. You have to be both of those things.
Yes.
And that's hard.
Yes.
It's really hard. One of the first things you do when you're finding someone else is to find somebody who is going to take some of that business side off your shoulders.
I do have a bunch of spreadsheets on lots of different things. I've definitely become more organised. I'm actually teaching a workshop this week, and the lady who's come for a workshop, she's really starting from the business point of view. And I'm like, oh, she's already thinking about her strategies and stuff like that. And before Monday, she'd literally never even tried a hat on, let alone sewn anything. And I'm like, oh.
Hold on a second. Yeah. Do you think you have a potential business partner?
Oh, maybe.
I'm not being funny.
Yeah.
I'm not being funny.
Jo Fairley's advice on making it big is to make sure you get your business in front of influential people. Know where your brand sits in the market and focus on the blogs, magazines, or even podcasts that work best for you and your business. Don't waste your energy contacting everyone. And don't be shy about promoting yourself. Journalists are always looking for new stories to cover. If they do turn you down first time, be persistent, but be polite. Use social media to get your name out there. When potential clients have heard about you before you knock on the door, they're far more likely to let you in.
Meet the Mentors is supported by Vodafone as part of our Business Made Simple series. For more great advice, search Business Made Simple.